I think we see people bringing curiosity, care and courage. And I'm really fascinated by curiosity. And research suggests time and time again that curiosity is what distinguishes great leaders from good leaders.
Welcome to Helping Organizations Thrive. Today, I have the pleasure of Annie Townend on the show. Good morning to you, Annie.
Good morning, Julian.
Good to see you. You are an executive coach and you partner with senior leaders and their teams to help foster cultures of care, connection and collaboration, which we're going to be diving into a bit later on. You're also an author and you're also a podcast host of Leaders in Conversation, which I was on a few months ago. So that was a great conversation and great to have you on my show as well.
Well, it's great to be here and to reciprocate and to be on this side of the microphone, as it were, Julian. And I loved being in conversation with you. I'm looking forward to releasing our podcast of your conversation later on this year.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's always very different being on the other side, having been on the other side as well. It's a very different experience, but it's a lovely experience. Perhaps sometimes more retrospectively than sometimes always in the moment. But we're going to be exploring collaborative leadership today. But before we go into that, Annie, I'd love to ask you, what do you love about what you do?
I love helping senior leaders and their teams work together more effectively through having conversations that matter. And what I love to be able to help them to do is to create a safe environment in which they can have those conversations, in which they can ask questions and really listen and have conversations that otherwise they might not have with each other as part of working together more effectively and crucially finding their collaborative edge.
Wonderful. And I'd like to understand, when did you realize that was your thing that you really loved doing and you found that you could really add value to those sort of senior leadership teams that give them this sort of collaborative edge? When was there a moment or has it just sort of happened over time naturally?
I think it's evolved over time. I think I realized the importance of helping leaders to create a safe environment in the first instance a long time ago, and asking leaders, how good are you at creating a safe environment in which people can have these conversations, was a crucial part of working with leaders and their teams. I like meeting a team as a body, so I see myself as partnering with the senior leader and I'm supporting them and their team. Ooh. So, and usually that is over a period of time, helping them to create that safe environment in which people can enjoy not only diversity of thought and feeling, but also inclusive dialogue. And together with my colleague, Lucy Kidd, we created what we call our collaboration equation, mm-hmm. which is an equation which starts with psychological safety plus inclusive dialogue plus diversity of thought and feeling equals collaborative edge. And that's what I love doing and have evolved into doing through feedback from clients that's what I do well. I help them create that safe environment in which they become more aware of themselves, the impact they're having on others. They become more aware of the language that they use to tell their stories, the kind of stories that they tell the rest of the organization, and to help them get really clear on what it means to help people to thrive, to be confident and resilient, and to be able to work together more effectively.
That's fantastic. And I love how it's evolved. And, you know, I can really sense your passion for this and with teams and helping them to be sort of collaborative. And we're talking about collaborative leadership. And I want to, I suppose, get your perspective of a definition, what you believe it to be, and why you think it's really important to have collaborative leadership in the sort of current sort of workplace we live in now, time. And why it's crucial for that sort of almost dynamic business environment.
I think I believe that people need people and that we are better together, and that it's easy to say that, but there need to be some conditions in place for us to be able to be really innovative, to come up with new ideas and to drive business success together. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about helping leaders and their teams more than ever work together, because that is the nature of how we will get the best out of each other and how as organisations we will thrive.
Fantastic. And so, I mean, collaboration is, you know, it's more than just get alongside working with each other. And it'd be good for you just to sort of show, I suppose, an example, you know, whether it's a personal, your own example, or something you observed of where you start to see this collaboration from a leader start to happen, and almost what are the sort of what manifests in that context? What do we see when it really sort of become really collaborative?
I think we see people bringing curiosity, care, and courage, and I'm really fascinated by curiosity, and research suggests time and time again that curiosity is what distinguishes great leaders from good leaders. And it's not just any kind of curiosity, it's a passionate curiosity in people. And I think that that's key to helping organizations thrive and for people to collaborate together, is that they are curious in each other. They're curious about each other. They are curious to understand what each other's strengths are, what each other's vulnerabilities are. And that takes care. So curiosity with care. So caring about you, you caring about me, bringing curiosity to our working relationship, and courage to be able to say, tell me what you mean, I don't know, or I disagree with you, or for me to share something personal about myself. That takes courage. It takes courage to challenge. It takes courage sometimes to be vulnerable and to ask for help. And teams that work together collaboratively, there is a sense in which everybody has a voice and is listened to, and everybody is more conscious of the impact they're having on each other. And with senior teams, having an awareness of the impact that they collectively have on the rest of the organization, becoming more aware of the collective impact in terms of how they are impacts on the rest of the organization. The organization can be a reflection of how they are. So if they work together better, so will their teams. If they bring more curiosity, more care, more courage, people will feel more confident and resilient. They'll have a greater sense of belonging, which I think is also a really important part of working together collaboratively.
Yeah, curiosity, it's I think it's really important to, as a leader, to have that, I suppose, inquisitive nature about, you know, A, about yourself, because I think love all these things, it starts with your self-awareness of how you feel, what made you feel in that situation, your triggers, or just what you're thinking, and taking time to be curious about yourself, but also then of others. And I guess with that comes this whole piece of time, and we know leaders move at a fast pace. We know leaders take a lot of just get in focus on goals and outcomes, and quite obsessed on delivering KPIs. How do we create an environment or space in the leader's sort of mind, really, to slow down a little bit? Because I think the curiosity, you need to have some time to think about things and to think about those inquisitive questions, think about your team and reflect and ponder. And so what have you found is a good way of providing that sort of slowing down of pace of thinking, I guess?
It's something which I talk about with teams and encourage them to practice, is creating time to think in their meetings. Too often at the moment, and maybe pre the pandemic, people went from meeting to meeting without taking time for themselves or to think about what the next meeting was even about. And making time in our meetings to think better together is a key part of collaborating effectively. And I invite people to take a few minutes silent reflection to think, and then potentially to share their thoughts with one other person in the team, and then for us to share our combined thinking in the whole team. So really encouraging leaders to help leaders do their best thinking, and from that to make good decisions. So I think that's really important in team meetings, but also, Julian, creating space in our own lives to be able to think. Mm. And we all have our different ways of doing that. I love walking. I think best on my feet. I think best first thing in the morning. So I think, like you said, it starts with yourself and awareness of what works for you. May not work for everybody, but finding what works for you, and then finding, being curious, what works for other people. And I do think leadership happens inside of relationship. And of course, when we have a lot to get done, to reach goals and to deliver success and results, making time for our relationships and fast tracking them through bringing curiosity, care, and courage facilitates deeper listening, deeper questioning, and results in better thinking and better decision making. And having an awareness of inclusive dialogue, making sure that everybody has a voice and that they feel part of the conversation, I think is really important. And even if that is not to contribute, to acknowledge somebody else's contribution. So we cannot help but give feedback, whether we are sitting in a meeting, not speaking, we are listening and being present, helping leaders to be present in their listening and receiving, but also in their responding, be that acknowledging, questioning, challenging, appreciating, are all part of collaborating together and helping leaders to find their collaborative edge. And people deliver more faster when they are connected and a part of something.
And I think you mentioned there about being present. I think that almost what you said at the start, by the start of a meeting, taking some time out to be silent, to think, to reflect. In some ways, you're creating an opportunity to people to be present right now, and to almost stop the chatter of the previous meeting or the previous conversation, and that they're in the moment. And we get the best out of people when people are in the moment. They're fully present, they listen better, they contribute better, there's a lot more energy about it. And it's almost creating that, almost to a leader it may feel I'm slowing this down because there's an element of a pause, it feels like a pause, but actually that will fuel an absolute pace in terms of delivery, because of everybody will get, as you say, an opportunity to contribute, feel valued, and be able to share their thoughts. And actually, with that diverse thinking, you start to then create that better solutions, better ways of going about it. And so I think that sense of being present, and I know there's lots of personal ways of being present. What other ways have you found helpful? Because I know with teams, I've done, when you're facilitating teams, obviously we're facilitating, we probably slow the pace down a little bit and we create opportunity to think and get everyone to share, and we try and avoid groupthink and things like that, all those sort of things. What other ways can we help teams get more presence and get really in the moment with each other? What else have you found helpful for that?
I think being in nature can help, encouraging people to get outside. And when I'm working with a team in person, wherever we are, there will be opportunity for reflection on one's own, maybe inside, but then going outside and having a paired conversation, perhaps with somebody in the team who you know less well and would like to get to know better. And through questioning, so the power of asking open questions that help people to share something of themselves, which otherwise they might ordinarily not share. So, for example, it might be, if being present is a challenge for people, I might ask them to go outside. It could be in a city, could be into a park, could be outside in nature, further afield, and invite them to have a conversation about what helps you to feel present and what is one thing you could do in your leadership that will help you to be more present. And then when people come back into the team, to share that, to hear from everybody. So I want everybody to have a voice, because that diversity of thought and feeling, we learn so much from each other. So a culture of care and connection in which people thrive, I believe, is a learning environment, one in which I learn from you and you learn from me. And we encourage each other to be confident and resilient. And you're very passionate, Julian, about resilience and write wonderfully and speak wonderfully about this. And for me, confidence and resilience do go hand in hand, and presence is part of that, I think. And so helping people to find what that means for me, maybe thinking for them, maybe thinking, so what does that mean for me? What am I like when I'm fully present? What's happening around me when I'm fully present? What are the things that distract me? And there are things that I may have control over that I can sort out and clear out of the way. But there may be some things that I need to ask you for help with. And again, for me, that's about collaborating together.
I think you make a good valid point there about asking people to experience being present, because I don't think everybody's always experienced, or it's been very fleeting. And it's trying to get people, and sometimes you might need certain techniques that can help people, breathing, meditation, that can help people, but people got to find their own way of how they engage being present, or know the feeling of what it is to be present, if you know what I mean. And I think that's a good place to start, I think. I mean, I was with the team yesterday, and we did some exercises, and we did some breathing exercise, sort of box breath breathing, which is very simple breathing. And they all just, you could just see them all just becoming really present. It was wonderful to see. Not that they were pretty present with in terms of what we were doing, but it just, they all relaxed, and they suddenly got really present, really, and almost in within themselves. And I had almost a snap back to the room type of thing. And it was wonderful to see. And it's interesting to talk about the learning. And I think more and more people will need to realize, leaders in terms of teams, and it sounds really obvious, when you get people contributing and sharing, the learning becomes incredibly powerful amongst the team. And you learn as a leader, you learn as individuals. And yesterday we did some sort of techniques of helping people sort of do managing emotions. And I came up with some ideas, as I would, but somebody came up with an idea which was powerful. And they all fed back, that was what they're going to incorporate. And I almost joked and said, I don't need to be here. But that was the power of it. Somebody came up, this is what I do. And everybody saw the value in that and went, well, we're going to do the same as well. And that, just by me facilitating sharing that, created that learning and that collaboration. And they've got something they can take forward. So it's really powerful, isn't it?
I love that. I think that's so important. And that diversity of thought and feeling, and through sharing something, somebody else saying, that's great, I'm going to practice that. And then together, let's practice that. So maybe it's in our teammate meetings, making time at the beginning to take a few breaths, perhaps to do the four square box breathing, for example. Or years ago, I worked in an organization where they always started their meetings in silence, which was part of helping them to be present in the moment and to each other. And for a while thereafter, I also started my team coaching, facilitating group days with silence. I don't do that anymore, but I do often ask the question, what will help you to be present today? And that generates so much from the people, gives everybody an opportunity to contribute. What will help them to be present? And it might be, for example, confidentiality, something that will help them to feel safe, to be able to contribute. It might be knowing when lunch is, because they've got a call they want to make at that time, and or they want some time at over the lunch break for themselves. So that diversity of thought and feeling is really important in finding your collaborative edge, because we talk often about diversity of thought and creating a thinking space in which collaboration can happen and people do their best thinking. But something which Lucy and I noticed is that it's really important to enable people to share diversity of feeling. How we feel about something can be very different. You might be excited about something, I might be scared about it, or vice versa. And how, as leaders, we can hold the both and that also give us an insight into the rest of the organization who might be feeling anxiety and excitement about the future. And as leaders, how can we hold both? So diversity of thought and feeling, allowing different feelings, again, as part of the equation, helps us to find our collaborative edge. But it really does start with psychological safety, inclusive dialogue, being conscious of the language we use, encouraging diversity of thought and feeling, which then leads to finding your collaborative edge, where true innovation and creativity and differences are made. We make a bigger difference together.
Yeah, I mean, psychological safety is key, that if someone's going to share how they feel, particularly, I mean, thinking is one thing, as it were, but suddenly you go, how I feel about certain projects, and being true and honest and open, you have to feel really safe in that team. Yes. And I think that's really important to create that safety, psychological safety, where people feel, I can say I feel a bit scared about this or not so sure, without feeling they're going to be sort of, kicked out or sort of shouted at or something like that, which is a really key part. In terms of other sort of collaborative leadership aspects, in terms of almost cross-functional teams or through organization, because it's very much more against or a view of not being very hierarchical in terms of, it's not all top-down, up-down, all that sort of stuff. It's more bringing and engaging, enabling, empowering people, isn't it?
It is.
How does that work in terms of working cross-functional teams and not having a leader who's going to sort of tell you to do things, so to speak?
Well, I think that's where the top team working together, so that then their teams work together and then their teams work together, is really important. So if we see our senior leadership team working together and collaborating and encouraging us to collaborate, then we will collaborate across teams and across functions. And more we need to do that, because there are so many overlappingnesses. And from permaculture, there is a phrase that goes, growth happens at the edges. And I do think that the biodiversity of thought and feeling and innovation happens when we do bring different functions together and we are helped to really hear what works for us, what we need from each other, how we can help each other. So a crucial part of working together horizontally is helping each other to thrive, that I will thrive because I'm helping you to thrive. And that we are, hence the play, Julian, on collaborative edge, that within organizations and within our partner organizations, and indeed with clients, customers, services that we provide, if we think bigger about these and think about finding our collaborative edge, how can we help each other succeed, is what I and Lucy do.
And it's getting that sense of being part of a bigger purpose, isn't it? Apart from what you do and contribute in your individual capacity, your team, it's the wider mission and vision of the organization. And I think it's making it clear that the senior team cast that, make clarity about that, and instill that into people and live it. As you say, role modeling is so powerful. In fact, one of the most powerful ways to influence behavior and cultures is the role modeling piece. And so it's making sure that, and obviously, purposes don't always align exactly with everybody's individual, but if they broadly align, and if you're working within another team and you're all on the same overall mission, then it helps with that collaboration, it helps with that trust, helps with that empowering and relinquishing aspects of things that perhaps thought were your things or different way of thinking. And it helps that whole thing. But I think for me, it's getting that real clarity of that. Go on, so Carol.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's where clarity happens, and clarity and creativity hand in hand, and people will become more focused together because they're able to challenge each other sooner, support each other more strongly in their conversations because they feel safe, because they bring a mindset and behavior of curiosity, care, and courage, which helps build confidence and resilience and leads to clarity and creativity.
And just as a final question, really, what are the challenges of being a collaborative leader or approaching or working in an organization as more collaborative?
Well, I found it really helpful. A couple of years ago, I heard somebody speaking about the difference between collaboration, cooperation, and coordination. And I found that really helpful because I think when we have big enough relationships, when we trust each other, when we feel safe with each other as teams, in teams, across teams, then sometimes we'll be collaborating, and here's how to find your collaborative edge. We can help you do that. Sometimes, because you have that strong relationship with each other and you have found your collaborative edge, then you will simply be able to cooperate or coordinate. But interestingly, we might think that we need more trust to be able to collaborate. But I think if we build the trust through collaboration, then trust stands us in good stead for cooperation and coordination. And we can respond to the context, to the ambition much more quickly because we have that trust. We feel safe with each other. We've created a culture of care and connection in which people are helping each other to thrive.
So the collaboration in itself creates the trust and the sharing and the sort of actual by default, by collaborating, you then start to, your trust levels start to go up, don't they, as you start to engage with somebody and work with somebody in that way?
Yes, I think asking, how can we collaborate together? You know, what works for you? What helps you to collaborate? What are the conditions that help you to collaborate? And I'm suggesting, as we are in our collaboration equation, Lucy and I, that it starts with creating that safe environment. So what will help you to feel safe so that you can be your best? What will help us as a team do our best work? How can we create? What are the conditions we need to have so that we can be inclusive, we can bring diversity, and so that we can find our collaborative edge and cooperate, coordinate, and collaborate? So trust and openness and honesty flow through all of those things, but they start with bringing that mindset of curiosity, care, and courage, and creating that safe environment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your insights, Annie. It's good to have the conversation. I think we've sort of got a bit more, a lot of people got more clarity on what it is, but also how to do it, which is always the important thing about these things. Not just talk about what something is, but how do we start to move towards it? If people want to sort of connect with you and get in touch with you, what do they need to do?
Go to my website, annietownend.com, to find out more about our collaboration equation co-created by myself and Lucy Kidd. Go to collaboration equation. Follow me on LinkedIn, Annie Townend, and follow collaboration equation on LinkedIn as well. And both Lucy and I will be at the Diversity and Inclusion, Global Diversity and Inclusion Forum in May in London. So watch out for notifications about that and do come and visit us there. Thank you, Julian. Lovely talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. If you like this episode, then please rate, review, and share it with your friends and colleagues. As a coaching practice, I coach high-performing leaders and teams with extreme ambitions. and it'll help you go beyond what you believe is possible. If this sounds like you, then let's have a conversation. You can contact me at julianrobertsconsulting.com.